In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Estamos en Semana Santa. We're in Holy Week. This is a great week. I invite you to enter fully into this week. There's what else is of matter or importance that could ever happen during this week than to be with Jesus, than to walk with him, than to pay attention to what he does for me. The only announcements are take as many of those palms that you have, take as many of those as you can. We have tons. In fact, we have twice what you see right there available. We'll bless the rest at the next Mass. Take them, for these are the most powerful of sacramentals that the Church offers throughout the whole of the year. Use them. Let them drive out the demonios in your life. Sanctify your home with them. On Wednesday, we have that final Mass before we enter into the Triduum, the Mass of Spy Wednesday, when our Lord is betrayed. 5:30 is the Mass. Come with us, and as we meditate upon that great betrayal, each of us betray the Lord every time we engage in any kind of sin. On Holy Thursday, we'll have our Holy Liturgy of Holy Thursday. Remember, it'll be in a more subdued fashion. There will be no washing the feet as normally takes place during that Mass. We'll do that at 5:30, and after that, we'll hope to spend some time remaining with our Lord in adoration, to watch and pray with him, just as he asked his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. They failed. May we seek to succeed. Then following Holy Thursday, on Good Friday, is the only day of the Church in the whole year where Mass is never offered for that 24-hour period. So we'll have the service of the Pre-Sanctified, where we'll get together for that Good Friday service at 3 o'clock, pray the Stations of the Cross, and conclude that with the Liturgy of the Pre-Sanctified, the Adoration of the Cross, and the prayers and sorrows which we pour out there, reading not the Gospel of Mark, his passion, but the Gospel of John, which is all the more vivid in his detail, as we do every Good Friday. Then on Holy Saturday, our Lord is passed, expired from this earth. We sit with Our Lady, watching and waiting in hope. The Easter Vigil will take place at 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock. For those of you who can make it to cast vigil with us in this most great of all Masses of the year, this is the central point of the year, the Easter Vigil. Come and experience what our Lord does for us in the beauties of this liturgy. The Mass will be at 8 o'clock. Easter Sunday Masses will take place just as they do every Sunday, 8 o'clock and at 10 o'clock during that time. If Fort Sumner will similarly have those same liturgies as well, but their Mass will only have on Sunday at 8 o'clock, no Easter Vigil. Let these liturgies affect you. Let's pay attention to one prayer, one phrase that our Lord gives us in the Gospel. He speaks in his prayer there and says to us, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Amen. What did we just witness? We witnessed here St. Peter's recollections of the Passion given to us by the hand of the evangelist St. Mark. The shortest of all the Gospels, St. Mark is basically a passion narrative, a recording of the passion which we have here with an extended prologue, an extended lead into it. Because his whole point is to run to get to this point, the greatest moment, the passion of Christ. The heart of this passage is this powerful prayer within the Gospel that we have here, this powerful prayer of our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did you hear that prayer? Did you hear what our Lord said? What great confidence, what great entrustment that he had of the Father's love. Yet what great anguish and distress at the coming events that he knew were going to proceed. And what incomprehensible and contradictory feelings are combined in a single prayer, just a couple sentences. But what does this prayer mean for us? And what can this prayer do for us, offer us as Catholics here in Santa Rosa here 2,000 years later? I tell you, it shows us hope. It offers you and me hope in the midst of our turmoil and distress in these days, the suffering that we go through, because it exemplifies for us a grasping trust, a reaching trust in God the Father, if it be possible to reach for that. Hear it again. Listen again with eyes closed to enter into this prayer, and maybe just repeat it over and over again in your soul as you struggle. What does our Lord say? He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me. But not what I will, but what you will. Do you notice the three points, the three parts of this particular prayer that our Lord gives us here? The first part is where our blessed Lord Jesus expresses this total confidence to the Father's love. He says what? He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. In other words, what he's really driving at here is he's saying, Father, you can do all things. Your love, it is all powerful. And yet, it's personal to me. You desire what's best for me. Yes, you take care of all persons and all creatures throughout the universe. But you take care of me in a special way. I'm yours. So this prayer does what? It is really an entrustment, a deep trust in the Father's love for him. The second part of the prayer. The next thing that our Lord says is Jesus begs the Father to take this cup away, this chalice away from him. What is he saying? In other words, he's saying, Father, please save me from this terrible suffering. It seems to be too much for me. Maybe my humanity just can't make it. Save me from it. If there's any other possible way, you're all powerful. You love me. Can you take it away and substitute something else? Anything else? What is this? It's a cry from the heart, a heart that is shrinking back from pain in his humanity, a heart that's afraid of the mockery that he's going to endure from all sides, from all classes of people, even from intimate friends like Peter, a heart that knows every blow that's going to batter his body, but even in a deeper way, those which will shatter his soul. What's the third part of the prayer? The third part is our blessed Lord Jesus. He concludes with a trust in the that surpasses all understanding, in a love that surrenders all to the Father, who he knows loves him above all. Jesus says, but not what I will, but what you, O Lord, will. Let that be done. How opposite is this response that we see from our blessed Lord today than that of Pilate? Pilate, what does he do? Pilate gives in to the demands of the crowd. He wants to satisfy the crowd's momentary passionate pleas, and so he puts aside God's will, and he puts aside the demands of justice, which he has been installed just to focus on that. And what Pilate does is he put those aside and instead releases Barabbas. Do you know what the name Barabbas means? I was called Barabbas a lot because of my last name is so close to as a young man. Barabbas means Bar Abbas, son of the Abba, son of the Father. And so here in this moment, what happens? This false son of the Father, the one who isn't the son of the Father, is substituted. He's released. And he hands over the true son of God the Father in order to be crucified. God leaves nothing to chance, not even names. Pilate knew Pilate knew Jesus' innocence. He knew his duty. He knew it was only because of jealousy that he was being handed over here, but he lacked the courage to defend Jesus in his moment, in his hour of need. In his fear, he freed the guilty and handed over innocent blood. Today, as we enter more deeply into the passion of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, we see how easily it is to be swept along by the crowd, by public opinion, by the emotions that tear us every single way, by fear, even when we know exactly what the truth is. We often resist doing what is right, and we can be tempted just to do nothing, to remain silent in the face of evil. We can give in to doing evil that we never thought was possible. How easily we flee from the threat of humiliation if we dare to question the narrative, if we actually take the time to seek the facts and not just keep them to ourselves. But remember this. Carve this into your soul. Let this be something that bears you through every difficulty that you go through. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says this. It says, "There is no fear in love, but true love, but perfect love, it casts out all fear, because fear comes from punishment. And the one who is afraid has not yet been perfected in love." The central point is that is perfect love casts out all fear. This is true. Jesus is this true, is this perfect love, and his very person poured out for us. And when we come to Jesus in the Eucharist, if we prepared ourselves, if we're able to receive by a worthy confession, he comes to live within us, taking his flesh and making it incorporated into our flesh. If we live in Christ, and if we live with Christ, if we live through Christ, then we can do what's right no matter what the cost, just like he. Do you notice, though, how our Lord ended that prayer? He gives this prayer over to the Lord, and really, what does he do immediately after he lets loose of that prayer? What action does he give us? Do you see in the Garden of Gethsemane how Jesus arrived at this peaceful audacity? What did Jesus do to show this serene daring that drives him forward? Our Lord Jesus, he rises up. Peter, James, and John, who have fallen asleep right there, he rouses them, and he says, "Get up. Get up. Let us go and see. My betrayer is at hand." Jesus' time in prayer, what does it do to him? Pouring out his entire soul to the Father, what the Father does is he gave him such a conviction that he could leap up, that he could embrace his cross and all the suffering that he knew exactly which would follow. When he pled with the Father to remove this chalice, to give him anything else, did the Father take his cross away from him? No. Decidedly, no. What the Father did is the Father gave Jesus, his beloved Son, fortitude. He gave him courage. He gave him this manly virtue to bear it all so that he might redeem the world. Certainly there are some of us here at Mass who are carrying painful questions within our hearts. Probably all of us. I know I am. We enter into this Mass on Passion Palm Sunday. We're in anguish. We're in the midst of difficult circumstances. Our lives are a mess. Maybe we're asking questions just like so many throughout history have, asking questions like, maybe, Lord God, if you really are good, you are good, you are loving, then why are you letting me, or why are you letting my family or my friends suffer like this? Lord, why is this Alzheimer affecting my loved one? Or why is this degenerate disease eating at this one I care for so much? Why is this pandemic going on another year? Shouldn't be over. Is it ever going to end? What about this tragic death? Lord, why did it have to happen now? Why did this person in this moment, why couldn't I just have one more moment? Why do I look around and see such violence, races attacking other races? Why is our government keeping so many kids in cages on our border? With so many Catholics in office, how is it even possible that abortion even exists in our nation? God, with all this, how can I believe that you love me? That you even know what love is? With all these questions, the mystery of suffering confounds my understanding, it confounds yours. And the truth is that we'll never completely comprehend the suffering that enters into our lives. Yeah, Jesus had to suffer. I get that. He had to save the world. He had to offer himself in that way, but he's God. What about everything else? It's for no accident that today, the entire church throughout the world read exactly what you and I read today. Spent some time with our Lord in the midst of his passion, just like we did. The passion of Jesus, it helps us place all of our painful circumstances, the things that really challenge our faith, into the mystery of Jesus Christ suffering to redeem the world on the cross. We learn that even if God the Father doesn't answer our prayer immediately, or if he isn't going to answer it the way that you and I think it should happen, in the moment that we think it should, that he always will give us the strength to endure whatever it is that comes. And in the end, what happens? Jesus overcomes it all. He overcomes everything. He does it all there. And in the end, he overcomes all the evil within the world with his great goodness, because the resurrection follows the passion. Passion isn't the end. Resurrection is. When our blessed Lord Jesus, he died upon the cross, what he did is he gave the gift of eternal life even to Saint Dismas, a murderer who was there at his side for a couple seconds of faith. He gave the gift of faith to one centurion who was actually presiding over his killing, giving the orders to make sure that he died. Did you catch that at the end of the gospel today? The centurion, it says, as Jesus breathed his last, he said, the centurion, truly, this is the Son of God. And he came to faith. As our Lord breathed out his breath, that breath of faith was taken in by that one. He was saved that day. God's grace, working through Jesus' suffering and death, even as he was dying, the love of God works in far ways beyond your and my understanding. Jesus' suffering and death were the worst acts of injustice that humanity, that the world ever could possibly know. They were the worst things that ever could be a reality. But what happened in that? When our Lord entered into that worst thing, Jesus' suffering and death did that. But they were allowed by a loving Father. Our Father could have done anything to prevent it. Yet instead, he allowed it. He allowed it so that it could instead be transformed, not into the greatest act of injustice, but the greatest act of love, of self-giving, of redemption, of salvation the world could ever know. Our Lord could have redeemed the world through a paper cut, through a pinprick. And yet he knew that that wouldn't work for you and me. He had to give everything, every last drop of love exiting from his sacred side. The sacred scripture says what? It says, by his wounds we are healed. By Jesus' sufferings, every single one of them, hope is restored to us if we cling to it. In the Passion, our Lord Jesus Christ, in that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus invites us to say the words that he said, not to leave them just for him, but for us to pray the exact same prayer in the midst of our difficulty. What did he say? He said, Father, Abba, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, what you will, let that be done. What a great confidence. What great entrustment to the Father's love. Yet what great anguish and distress at the coming events that he knew were going to follow in that moment. What incomprehensible and contradictory feelings are combined in a single prayer, just a couple sentences. What does that prayer mean to us? What does that prayer offer you and me as Catholics here in Santa Rosa 2,000 years later? It shows us hope. Hope in the midst of our turmoil and our sufferings. It exemplifies us our own grasping trust in the Father's love. So if you're wounded today, if you're suffering, pray it again. Pray it again with me. And pray it again every day. That's what our Lord Jesus invites us into. If you can pray it. Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. But not what I will, but you will be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.